Welcome back to the Core Intelligence Briefing. I'm your host, and today we're opening with something that should be sitting at the top of every fintech leader's agenda this week. The Federal Reserve held rates unchanged at its May 2025 meeting, but do not let that headline create a false sense of stability, because what happened beneath the surface is far more consequential. According to Axel Merck of Merck Investments, speaking live during FOMC coverage on Thoughtful Money, the market simultaneously priced out approximately 75 basis points of expected rate cuts before Fed Chair Powell had even finished his press conference. And Polymarket data, cited by Adam Taggart, now places the probability of a rate hike by April 2026 at 48.5%, nearly a coin flip. That single figure should be enough to trigger an immediate review of every floating rate product, BaaS deposit program, and BNPL facility in your portfolio. Let's walk through what that actually means for your operating infrastructure, because today we have three critical issues that demand engineering and compliance attention, and I want to give each of them the weight they deserve. Issue 1. Rate hike probability and BaaS program repricing. Start with the deposit programs. For every 100 basis points of rate increase, BaaS deposit programs generate approximately $1 million in additional spread revenue per $100 million in program deposits.
That sounds like upside, and in isolation, it is. But here's the compliance-aware counterpoint. That same rate environment compresses consumer spending, which directly reduces interchange revenue. The two effects do not cancel each other out cleanly, and your P&L model needs to reflect both simultaneously. Building on that, if you're running a balance sheet lending program funded through floating rate warehouse facilities, Axel Merck's analysis places current all-in warehouse costs at SOFR plus 200 to 350 basis points, roughly 7 to 9% today. Under a plus 50 basis point Warsh hike scenario, you're looking at SOFR plus 450 basis points. At a $50 million loan book, a 100 basis point increase in cost of capital compresses your gross lending margin by 3 to 5 percentage points. That is not a rounding error. That is a program viability question. More importantly, this is not a theoretical tail risk. Danielle DiMartino Booth of QI Research corroborated on Bloomberg Surveillance that three Fed governors rejected an easing bias, and one actually dissented in favor of a cut, the highest internal FOMC dissent count since October 1992. That level of internal division tells you the policy path is genuinely uncertain in both directions. As a standard operating procedure, your financial model infrastructure must be updated to treat the Fed funds rate as a dynamic variable, not a hard-coded assumption. That means running three scenarios in parallel: a hold-through 2026 base case, a plus 50 basis point hike scenario reflecting the 48.5% probability, and a minus 150 basis point cut scenario reflecting a dovish Warsh outcome that SoFi CEO Anthony Noto has also flagged.
Hard coding any single rate assumption into your BaaS, BNPL, or lending models is now a compliance and financial model deficiency. Issue 2. Forward guidance elimination under incoming Chair Warsh. This one requires a different kind of attention. It's a structural change to the information environment that your product and compliance teams have been operating inside for over a decade. Axel Merck characterized Kevin Warsh as firmly in the rules-based camp and was direct about what that means practically. Dot plots are on the chopping block, and Warsh did not commit to press conferences after every meeting. For most fintech floating rate products, the planning horizon has historically been 12 to 18 months. That's the forward guidance window the market has operated around. Under Warsh, that window may compress to 3 to 6 months with materially less advance notice of rate moves. Why does that matter for compliance? under the Truth in Lending Act and Regulation Z, specifically 12 CFR Section 1026.9 for open-end credit and Section 1026.0 for closed-end variable rate products, creditors are required to provide advance written notice of rate adjustments. The statutory window for open-end products can be as short as 45 days. If rate moves arrive faster than your disclosure pipeline can respond, you have a TILA compliance failure, and it's also a financial model failure because BNPL products with fixed merchant discount rates face net interest margin compression when funding costs move unexpectedly.
As standard operating procedure here, your engineering teams need to audit disclosure generation logic now. That means automated trigger thresholds that initiate notice workflows the moment an index rate, SOFR, or the Fed Funds effective rate, changes. It means time-stamped delivery confirmation across every channel, email, in-app, and postal mail. And it means adverse action notice generation for any credit line reduction that results from rate-driven underwriting tightening. That's governed by ECOA Regulation B. Issue 3. Sponsor bank regulatory concentration. Let me be direct about the severity here. Multiple sources confirm that Evolve Bank & Trust received a consent order in 2024. Blue Ridge Bank received enforcement actions in 2022 and 2023. And the 2024 Synapse collapse froze an estimated $265 million in end-user funds. These are not hypothetical program disruption risks. They are documented operational failures. Programs relying on a single sponsor bank with any active OCC or FDIC enforcement action face potential program suspension with as little as 30 to 90 days notice. And when a program goes down, the cost of a forced emergency migration runs $200,000 to $500,000, far exceeding the $50,000 to $100,000 annual cost of maintaining a warm standby secondary bank relationship. Think of this as a benchmark comparison between single bank and dual bank architectures. The single bank model appears lower cost until a consent order lands, at which point the cost curve inverts dramatically.
The dual bank model carries a small annual overhead, but eliminates catastrophic program disruption risk. As standard operating procedure, no BOSS program exceeding $25 million in program deposits should be operating on a single sponsor bank relationship. Your primary bank must be verified against a five-step protocol: the FDIC Enforcement Actions Database, the OCC Enforcement Actions Database, Federal Reserve Enforcement Records, FFIEC Call Report Capital Adequacy Data confirming Tier 1 capital above 10%, and CRA rating verification at satisfactory or outstanding. Your secondary bank must have an executed master program agreement and a completed API integration in a staging environment with a target of 90-day migration capability. And your contracts must negotiate a minimum 180-day wind-down notice along with explicit data portability clauses covering account ledger data, transaction history going back 5 years, and KYC and CIP records. Beyond the immediate rate and regulatory issues, Christian Hoffman of Thornburg Investment Management offered a warning on Yahoo Finance's market domination that deserves to be framed as a forward compliance priority. He stated plainly that AI is going to create winners and losers in credit markets and that private credit is right in the crosshairs. Bloomberg Intelligence's Mike McGlone corroborated this, with rising 90-day delinquency rates in credit cards and auto loans as leading stress indicators.
For fintech lenders with concentrations in knowledge work services, legal, accounting, consulting, or in leveraged private credit structures, the benchmark comparison here is straightforward. Your AI underwriting models were trained on pre-disruption data. As AI reshapes those industries, your models will exhibit drift in affected sectors without active monitoring. Hoffman's phrase, "pockets of credit markets seeing rising defaults," is the signal you need to act on now, not after the vintage data confirms it. As standard operating procedure, AI credit models must generate explainable outputs for ECOA compliance. Black box models that cannot produce specific denial reasons fail Regulation B's adverse action requirements. Implement SHAP or LIME explainability layers as your adverse action reason generation architecture. Run quarterly disparate impact analysis against the 4/5 rule.
and budget $75,000 to $150,000 annually for third-party model validation. That's the OCC and Federal Reserve's model risk management expectation under Bulletin 2011-12 and SR Letter 11-7. Building on that, there's also a capital allocation discipline issue embedded in your AI spend. Ramp spending data shows that the average enterprise burned 13 times more AI tokens in 2024 than in 2023. That's not inherently problematic, but unattributed AI spend competes directly with mandatory compliance infrastructure. BSA AML programs run $200,000 to $500,000 annually. State MSB licensing runs $1 to $2 million over 18 to 24 months.
Boss platform fees start at $20,000 a month. Any AI spend that cannot be mapped to a measurable unit economics outcome, fraud rate reduction, authorization rate improvement, KYC cost reduction, must be frozen until that attribution is established. The outcome attribution framework is simple to apply. Fraud detection AI that takes your fraud rate from 40 basis points to 18 basis points at $500 million in total payment volume generates $1.1 million in annual savings. KYC automation that reduces manual review cost from $20 per case to $3 per case at 10,000 monthly applications saves up to $2 million annually. Smart routing that improves authorization rates by 3 percentage points at $500 million in TPV recovers $1.5 million in annual GMV. If your AI spend maps to metrics like these, it clears the bar. If it doesn't, mandatory compliance infrastructure takes priority. Before we wrap, here's the one internal initiative I'd encourage every leader on this call to bring to their next planning session. Propose a cross-functional rate sensitivity and compliance architecture review. That means your engineering, compliance, and product teams sitting in the same room, not sequentially, but simultaneously, to stress test your financial models, audit your disclosure pipelines, and verify your sponsor bank standing against the five-step protocol we covered today.
The convergence of rate uncertainty, forward guidance compression, and AI credit disruption is not a single department problem. It requires a single integrated response. That's your FinTech and Banking Intelligence Briefing for today. Thank you for making time for this. The environment is moving faster than most planning cycles can absorb, and your attention to these issues is exactly what separates programs that scale from programs that stall. Keep your eyes on the rails. Talk tomorrow. That's your core brief for today. Thanks for listening. We'll be back tomorrow with more.